The Yeshiva Gedol of Johannesburg proudly presents the Wednesday evening shiur, covering the Parashas HaShavua, the Yomim Tovim, and other special topics as delivered by its founder and Rosh HaYeshiva, Rabbi Israel Chaim Goldfein, Zichrono Livrocha. Details regarding how to order additional shiurim follow immediately after the conclusion of the shiur.
This week's Parsha is Parshas Shoftim. A major portion of the Parsha, in the beginning and throughout the Parsha, deals with dinim, justice, the laws of justice, and the system of justice, of the rendering, of the deciding, the judgments, and of the enforcement. Sheftim v'sheftim titin lecho. You shall make for yourselves courts with judges and the law enforcers, v'chol shorecho, and all of your gates and all of the cities, asher Hashem alekecha neisen lecho l'shvotecho, which Hashem will give to you and your tribes, v'shoftos ha'am mishpot tzedek, and you shall judge the people with a just law. That is, we are commanded to set up a court system b'chol ir v'ir, b'chol plach u'plach, in every place, every city, every town, every state. And then later the Torah tells us, and this is in Posuches, Devarim Yud-Zayin Posuches, that what happens if there's a problem with the judges, that they cannot decide the law, or they cannot come to agreement on the law. So it says, ki pole mimcha dover la mishpot, when the judgment is beyond them, bein dom ledom, bein din ledin, bein neger leneger, in any area of the Torah, if it's distinguished between dam ledam when it comes to blood, pure blood, and impure, or din ledin when there is a dispute in laws between man and his fellow man, bein neger lenoga, whether it's they have to decide on the various leprosies in any area of Torah, isa v'heter, or mitzvahs Hashem, see the mitzvahs, or the dinim, what should they do? So it states, and there's divrei riva is b'sharecho. There are disputes and arguments amongst the judges themselves. And they should get up and they must go to the place where Hashem is placed, Hashem is chosen for his place. This is to the place of the Beis HaMikdash. And on the Beis HaMikdash site, we were commanded to have a Sanhedrin Agdela. This is the Supreme Court, the highest court of the land. And there they should come to the judges of the day, and they bring the problem, and the judges debate and expound, and they give forth their judgment. And the Torah commands us with a positive commandment that we must do exactly what those judges have deemed to be right. In accordance to the Torah, in accordance to the Mishpat, the judgment, you shall do, and you shall not turn away from what they judge. You have to follow their verdict. And then the Torah tells us has a very severe punishment if there's a judge who will not listen to their verdict, and he goes out and he gives his own judgment to the people, which is contrary to that of the Sanhedrin Agdola. This was to ensure that in Israel there would be one Torah. And actually the nations of the world have taken this system from Klal Yisrael, where you have your minor courts, and then you have your higher courts, and then eventually you have your supreme court of the land, which resolves all disputes that the lower courts cannot. And the Torah tells us also that what happens if the Supreme Court of the land cannot resolve it? There's a disagreement amongst them. Then the Torah tells us, "Acharei Rabim Lahates," you take a vote on it. And the law is in accordance with the majority of the judges. Even if some might be wiser than others. To become a judge, you had to be a Talmud Chacham Muflag. You had to be a very great Talmud Chacham. And you had to have smicha. Smicha was what the original qualification that was given for Moshe Rabbeinu to Yeshua and to their courts. And this qualified one to be a judge in the full sense of the word, to decide all arguments and all questions in all areas of the Torah, and to enforce the law with the various penalties and punishments that the Torah prescribes. To become a judge on a high court, you had to be a very, very great Talmud Chacham. And you had to have, in any court, you had to have enormous qualities like of integrity, like the Torah writes. To become a judge of the Supreme Court, see, these were the greatest Chachomim of the land. And the law of the Torah is that the majority opinion rules, even if the minority opinion might be of older judges or of maybe those that were wiser. Nevertheless, once one qualified to become a judge on the Supreme Court, he had an equal vote as everyone else. And he was not to be intimidated. Fact is, he used to cast his vote first in order not to be intimidated by the older judges or the more experienced ones. Naturally, though, we're speaking where that they've given the utmost the utmost attention and thought, and they have proofs to what they're saying before they can cast a vote. So this is what the Torah tells us, and the reason for this was to guarantee that there would be one Torah in Israel and there would never be a split. The Rambam writes, which I mentioned a number of times, that during the time of the Sanhedrin Agdola, Le'nimtza Machlekes B'Yisrael, that there was never a division in Israel. There could be two practices, because whenever there was any type of disagreement in law, so it had to be brought to a higher court, and then to a higher court. If it was not resolved, it had to be brought to the Sanhedrin Agdola, and they had to resolve it. And either by unanimous opinion or by majority opinion. And then everyone had to follow. There was no judge that was allowed to rule against that opinion. And this way we were guaranteed always of one law and one Torah. The Gemara brings a very interesting case, which we've spoken about before on Shabbos and a Shabbos Shorim, but I don't know if we've ever spoken on a Wednesday night on. Actually, the Gemara gets to this case really in not in an indirect manner, because the Gemara in Perek Hazov Daf Nun Tes Seif Omer Aleph Nun Tes Omer Beis, the Gemara is speaking about Onas Dvori, the negative commandment of hurting someone with words, and how one has to be careful. And the Gemara brings that Kol HaShorim Ninolim Chutz Mei Einos Dvorim, there are many times when HaKadosh Baruch Hu will not listen to Klal Yisrael except to the one who has been hurt by words because of Tzar HaLev, the anguish of the heart. And then the Gemara gives an illustration, and it's a roundabout way to give an illustration. But in the meantime, it brings a very, very classical story that took place.
Tanan Hossam, Chotcho Chulyes V'nosan Chul Bein Chulya LeChulya. There was a case of a certain stove which was made in installments, in pieces, and then put together. And it was a question if this was known as a keli, some type of utensil which could be makabel tumah, which could become impure if something impure touched it, or not. And what happened was is that something impure did touch it, and then this in turn touched something that was tohar, that had to remain pure. Now the question was, for example, like truma maestris, the question was if this truma maestris could be eaten or not, or did it have to be burnt? So came a major dispute in the Sanhedrin Agdola. Reb Lezer metaher, the Chachomim metamin. Reb Lezer said it was tohar, and the Chachomim, the majority of the Sanhedrin, said it was tomei. It was not pure. Zehu tanu shelachmo. B'yesi yeim, heishiv Reb Lezer called shuv shebailam. On that day, that it came to the discussion and the debate, and when a judgment had to be rendered, Reb Lezer, this was Reb Lezer ben Horkenes. Reb Lezer ben Horkenes was from the great Tanoim, the great sages, and we'll speak about him a little more this soon. Heishiv Reb Lezer called shuv shebailam. He gave all of the proofs that was possible to give to say that this utensil, this stove, was tohar, was pure. Lekiblu heimenu. But the Chachomim refused to accept all of his arguments, and they stood by their decision. Finally, in frustration, Omar lehem, he said to them, Im halocha kemeisi, if the law is like me, if the truth is like I say, chrub ze yechiyach. There was a kerub tree nearby, and he said, yechiyach, let that prove that I am telling the truth. Ne'aka chrub min keime mei amah. The chrub moved, the kerub tree moved 100 amos, almost 100 meters. Amri la Arba mea amas. Some say it moved 400 amas. Omrulei mevin rai min achruv. They answered, we do not prove disputes in Torah by the kerub tree. Chosev omalehem. So again he said to them, im alocha kemeisi, if the truth is like I am saying, amas amayim yechichu. There was a water canal passing by. He said, let this canal of water be my proof. Chozru amas amayim lachureihem. The canal of water, which always flows forward, stopped and started to flow backwards. Omrulei mevin raya miamas amayim. They said to him, we do not bring proofs to disputes in Torah from canals of water. Chozev omalehem yim aloha kemaisi kaislei beis hamedrish yichichu. He said again, if the truth is like me, let the walls of the beis hamedrish be proof. He took kaislei beis hamedrish lipo. The walls of the beis hamedrish started to fall. Gora behem yirbishua. Rebishua, who was a great sage and he was amongst the Chachomim, he went and he shouted at the walls. He says, if Talmidei Chachomim, if the sages, are engrossed in a great debate, in a great war over what is the halacha, why are you mixing in? Le'noflu mibnei kfedish shel Rabbi Yeshua. So the walls stopped falling because to give honor to Rabbi Yeshua, but le'zokvu mibnei kfedish shel Rabbi Elazar. But they did not return to standing upright because of the honor of Reb Lezer. They die in matin ve'emnim, and they are still standing like that. He went and again he said, if the aloha is like me, min hashamayim yechichu, let heaven itself be my proof. Yotzes abaskol, v'omro, Malachem Eitzor Eblezer Shehalocha Kemeise Bechol Mokom. A voice from heaven came down. A voice from heaven came down and said, why are you starting up with Eblezer? Do you not know that the halacha, the truth of the law, is always like him in every place? So he brought proof from a voice of heaven. Omer Rabbi Shua al-Raglov. Rabbi Shua stood up on his feet. The Omer, and he said, Le bashomayim, it is not in heaven. My le bashomayim, what did he mean by saying it is not in heaven? Well, what's not in heaven? Torah is not in heaven. Omer Rabbi Yirmiya, this is what he meant. Shekvar nitna Torah mehar Sinai. Torah is no longer in heaven. It was already given to us on Har Sinai. And einanu mashgichin bavaskol. And we do not take heed from a voice that comes from heaven. Shekvar kosakta bahar Sinai betorah, because Hashem has already written in the Torah, which he gave on Sinai, achrei rabim lahatris, that the halacha is determined by the majority opinion of the Sanhedrin. Ashkechei Reb Nosson le'Eliyahu. Reb Nosson at that time met Eliyahu. Omalei my ovid kuchi b'richu b'hishaito. He asked, what is Hashem doing at this time? This was during the day or the days of the dispute. Omalei kochayich. He says, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is smiling. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is very happy. V'yomar nitzchuni b'ni, nitzchuni b'ni. He says, my children, nitzchuni bonai, my children, they are being victorious over me. Omru, it was said, Osayeh mevi'a kol tari shetir ablezer v'sot from ba'esh. That day they took everything that the Blazer held was tohar because of the stove, the pure, and they burnt it because they had given the judgment, the paskin, that it was tomei. And also because he would not change his opinion, nimnu olav ubirchuhu. They took a vote, and birchuhu, they put him in cherem. They excommunicated him. Omru mi elech v'yedio. Then came the question, who will go and tell him what they have done to him? Omenam Rabbi Kiva. Rabbi Kiva was his Talmud, his disciple. He said, Ani Eilech, I will go. Shemi Eilech Orem Sheinu Hogan V'yadiyah V'nim Tzemachri V'skol Leilam Kula. It's better that I should go than someone else, because if someone else does not know how to handle this and deal with this correctly, he can cause a churban, a destruction to the whole world. Ma'al said Rabbi Kiva, what did Rabbi Kiva do? Lava shcherim, minisatev shcherim. He put on black clothing and he wrapped himself in black clothing. Rashi says because black clothing is inyan sarva evil, ba'avil. The black clothing determines someone who is in great anguish or mourning. V'yoshav, and he went to him. V'yoshav lefonav berichek arba amis, and he sat next to Rabbi Lezer, but he kept a distance of 4 amos between he and Rabbi Lezer. An amma would be maybe about 1/2 meter. Because when someone is put into a nidui or a cherem, when someone is excommunicated, you're not allowed to walk into his 4 amos. Amalei Rebbe Kiva said, Akiva, Mayemi Yamayim, what's happening today? Why are you doing this? Amalei Rebbe, he said, Rebbe Kimeduma Li Shechaveri Bedili Memeko. He says, I think, it seems that Chaverim, our colleagues, have separated themselves from you. The Marsha brings that Rabbi Kiva wanted to do this in such an edel way, in such a gentle manner, to break this news to him, that actually the reason why he put on the black clothes and the reason why he told them, he said, I think that your friends have separated themselves from you. It's because really the one who's put into harem is supposed to separate himself. And he's the one who should wear these type of clothing. So he wanted to do it in a manner that everyone has separated themselves from you. When he heard this, when he heard this, he rented his garment, v'cholatz min olav, and he took off his shoes, v'nishmat, v'yoshev al gabi karka, and he slipped off the couch that he was sitting on, and he sat on the ground, like someone who was on a velus. This is a whole sugya in the Masechta Made Cotton, where the Gemara brings there, goes through the whole question that if someone is excommunicated, does he have to, like a mourner, take off his shoes and rent his garment and sit on the ground? Zogol einav demos, and he started to weep. Loka olam shlish b'zeisim, because of his weeping, the whole world was smitten. It lost the 1/3 of the olive crop. The whole world was reduced. Shlish b'chitim, 1/3 of the wheat crop, u'shlish b'sa'orim, and 1/3 of the barley crop was reduced. And some say even the dough that was in the hand of the woman who was making bread also was stricken. On that day there was a great anger in the world. Wherever Reb Lezer would look, and he would, with his great sorrow, he could cause a fire. Avram Gamliel, was the Nosi, he was the head of the Sanhedrin, the Rosh Shib. And Avram Gamliel was Bobby Svina. Avram Gamliel was on a ship. Omar Olav Nachshol L'Tivoy. And a great wave came and wanted to sink the ship. Omar, he said, Kimidumali Shein Zelabish full of blessing and hookiness. He says, I would say that this wave wants to sink the ship because of me, Rav Gamliel, and it's because to take revenge for what we did to the Blazer ben Hokinus. Omar al-Raglov, he stood on his feet for Omar, and he said, Ribbono shel Olam, Master of the World, Golui v'yodu lefanecha, it is very clearly known to you, shelei lichveidi osisi, I did not do this for my honor, shelei lichvei beis abo osisi, and I did not do this for my household's honor, the house he had come. He was from the Shalshelis, the Nosi was from the Shalshelis of the family of Dovid HaMelech. I did not do this for my father's house. I did it for your honor. Shalayir b'machlekes b'Yisrael, in order that there should not be dissent and there should not be disagreements and factions in Israel, that were one part of Israel will follow one leader and another one will follow another leader, and you have like shtei Torahs, two Torahs in Israel. Noch hayom is offer. The sea then settled down. Imo shalom, the visiyu de Reb Lezer, achter Reb Gamliel. Reb Lezer and Gamliel happened to be brother-in-laws. Reb Lezer was married to Reb Gamliel's sister. So his wife was Imo Sholem, her name was, and she was the sister of Gamliel. Avimahu Maisa ve'elech lehave shafka leil Reb Lezer lemepel alape. From that time on, she never let her husband, Reb Lezer, say tachnun, where he lets his head fall down. After davening, we always say tachnun and we put our heads down. She never let him say tachnun. Why? Because tachnun is where you tell HaKadosh Baruch Hu how much their Dovid HaMelech is telling, how much sar and anguish, how much pain and suffering a person has. And she was afraid that if he would tell HaKadosh Baruch Hu how much suffering he has, she was afraid of the consequences. Ahu Yuma Reish Yarcha Hava, one day it was Reish Chedesh. And on Reish Chedesh you don't say tachnun. But she had made a mistake, because some months some months have less days than the other months. And in those days when they were Makadosh al Pi Ariya, now we make the same day Reish Chodesh, no matter which day of the month it is, except we make it 2 days of Reish Chodesh or 1 day Reish Chodesh. But then when they were Makadosh, they had a Sanhedrin, and they used to be Makadosh to sanctify the moon only when the moon appeared. So therefore, the days of the Reish Chodesh changed. So she made a mistake as to which day was Reish Chodesh. She thought that today was Reish Chodesh, and it wasn't. It was really tomorrow. So she didn't worry about stopping him from say Tachnun, because on Reish Chodesh you don't say Tachnun. That's how some said the story. Others say Ikad Amri or say Anyo, because above Apke Le Rifto, that when he was coming to Tachnun, so a poor man knocked at the door and asked for bread. So she went, and by the time she came back, meanwhile he had said Tachnun Ashkechet and Ofel Arampe. Omrulei, so she said to him, Kum. She said, get up. He had fallen his head down on his arm. She said, get up. Kataltala Achi, you have killed my brother. In other words, you have killed Ram Gamlil. Adohochi Nofak Shipura Mibes Ram Gamlil the Shochiv. And soon a message came from the house of Ram Gamlil that Ram Gamlil had died. Later he asked Ramalom no Yadato. He asked her, how did you know that if I would have said Tachnun, this would have caused your brother Ram Gamlil to die? Omer lei kach mikublani bebeis ovi abo. He says, this is what we have had in tradition from our grandfather's house. Their household went all the way up to Dovr HaMelech. Kol ha-shorim ninolim chutz mishari ha-ino. That all of the gates to heaven could be closed, except Shariano, except those who call out to Hashem from Sara Lev, those who have been injured in their heart. So the Gemara brings this to show the great consequences that Onos Dvorim, that when someone is injured because of insult or embarrassment or something that was said to him, you have to be very careful, because HaKadosh Baruch Hu might be, for various reasons, not listening to anyone, but he'll listen to that person. That's why the Gemara brings it here, because here the Gemara is speaking about that. But in an incidental manner, it tells us this classical case that took place in Klal Yisrael, and this is what we learn in this parsha here, that in order that there should be no Shaliyeva Machlekes B'Yisrael, like Ram Gamlil said, that there should never be dissension in Israel, never be two Torahs in Israel. But Kimitzion Teitzei Sora, there should be Torah Achas, one law, not two laws. So we were required to go to the ultimate steps. We could ask if, from one hand, we were required to do that, so then why did we find that it was punished? Evidently, the Sanhedrin, maybe because of the greatness of Elazar, maybe the Sanhedrin was obligated to handle this in a more diplomatic manner than they did. See, so maybe that's why there were these consequences. But at any rate, this is what we learn from here. Now, there's a number of questions on this story. And that is, first of all, Reb Elazar went and he brought all kind of signs, he brought all kind of wonders. Where did he get the power to make all of these wonders? And what were the significance of all of these wonders that he was bringing, with the Kerub tree and the canal of water and the walls of the Beis HaMedrash and even the Baskol, the voice of heaven? Secondly, if Reb Elazar was so great, and we're not talking here about some Balkishuv, you know, just some magic maker, we're not talking here about a Novi Sheker, about a person who, a prophet, a false prophet. This was Reb Elazar HaGadol. And he knew what he was saying. So after he presented his case to the Sanhedrin,
And he backed it up with all of these signs from heaven. So why didn't they accept it? And especially when he brought down a voice from heaven, what did they want him to bring HaKadosh Baruch Hu down himself? Thirdly, what does it mean that they met Eliyahu and he asked, what's Hashem doing? And he says, Hashem is very happy. It's Chuni Ibonai. My children have been victorious over me. Well, what does this mean? And then fourthly, we see the effect this had on the world. Reduced the olive crop a third and so forth. What does all that mean? Right, to give a brief explanation of all of this, and in accordance to what the Maral says this in Nesiv Amos Reah, in Perek Beis. He says, firstly, we must understand who the Blessed was. He's referred to in the Shas as Reb Lezer ben Hokhanes, and also he's referred to as Reb Lezer HaGodol. And he was an exceedingly great person. He was a Talmud of Rabbi Yechman Zakkai. And the Mishnah in Perek Beis, Mishnah Yud, brings in the Mishnah of Ovos. Hamisha Talmidim Hoyel Rabbi Yechem and Zakkai. Rabbi Yechem and Zakkai had five great Talmidim. Veilohein, Rabbi Lezer ben Hulkenes, Rabbi Shua ben Hananya, Rabbi Yeshe HaKoyen, Rabbi Shimon ben Nisanel, Rabbi Lezer ben Aroch. Hu hayomein Shivchon, Rabbi Yechem and Zakkai will tell of their great virtues. And Rabbi Lezer ben Hulkenes, he said he was a bor siege she'einam abe tipo. He was like a cemented cistern that never lost a drop of water. He never lost anything he learned. Hu haya emer, he would say, Rabbi Yechman Zakkai, im yakol chach mi Yisrael bekap moznaim, if all of the wise of Israel were on one end of the scale, Elezer ben Hokhanes bekap shnia, and Elezer ben Hokhanes was on this other end of the scale, machrias kulam, he would outweigh everyone. The two opinions brought, but this is the first opinion brought. So, and the in the Medrash Tanchuma, Parshas Chukas, it writes that he was from the Zera of Moshe Rabbeinu. He was a direct descendant of Moshe. And as we mentioned before, he also was the Rebbe, one of the Rebbes of Rebbe Kiva. So he was a very, very great person. And he was a person who was capable, see, of executing a lot of decrees that would come Yishamayim from heaven. Now first, it states that Esau Hayom, that day, Hebi Kol Shuvah Shebeilam, he brought all the proofs possible to prove his point. Called Shuvah Shebeilam Vele Kibla Himanu, and they won't accept it from him. The reason for this was is because there's a halacha which we see how far it goes. It says, "Ein ledayin elamashein of reis." A judge is allowed to determine the law only on the basis of what he himself sees. It would have been very easy for them to say, "Look, if Reb Lezer holds this way, and he's bringing every possible argument, so let's pasken like Reb Lezer. We will vote like him." But they were not allowed to. It says, "Ein ledayon el lamasha ein avreis." Each judge each sulfate must judge only in accordance to what he sees, to the way he sees the halacha. Leisagurim ibnei ish. He's not allowed to be intimidated by any person. Since the majority could not agree to his opinion and could not agree to his proofs, they were bound by Torah law to vote against him, no matter who he was. Because leisagurim ibnei ish, they are not allowed to be intimidated by anyone. And this we see very clearly here. And therefore, even though he brought them all possible arguments in the world, and he had endorsed all of those arguments, since they could not agree with those arguments, they were not allowed to pass, and they were not allowed to judge like he said, but they had to stick to their own judgment. When he saw that no longer were they that he was not able to persuade them, and he was not able to succeed in winning them over through the logic of Torah and through the rationale of Torah, so then he started with another madrega. He started with another level of battle, see, and he started to bring Asis Mishamayim, wonders from heaven, after he had exhausted all logic and rationale. First he started and said, Chuv Yachiyach, let the kerub tree prove, let that be a proof that I am saying the truth. He started with the kerub tree, firstly because he started from the lowest level, and this is something that grows in the earth. So he said, let that be a proof. And also, he had in mind something else. There are three levels that one needs when he comes to the wisdom of the Torah, to the wisdom of the Torah. And the first is, it's Chochma Bina Vadas. And the Chochma, the wisdom, the Madrega Rishena, the first level, when it comes to the truth in Torah, the wisdom of the Torah, is the Mesedis, is our tradition. A child starts to learn, he can only learn Aleph Beis in accordance to the way you teach him Aleph Beis. And you know how to teach him Aleph Beis because of the way your grandfather or your father taught you Aleph Beis. All of our Torah is based on Mercedes. It's based on tradition. And without that, then our Torah is meaningless. We could go totally astray. It's what we have received from the generations of previous sages. This is the whole Torah Shebaal Peh. See, the whole oral law, the Mishnah, the Gemara, and so on. Now that usually is to the Zakenim, who are the ones that tell us what took place in the previous generations. These were the old ones. So he had this in mind also. He said, to prove that my tradition is right, let the Kruv be my proof. The Kruv, the Gemara tells us, is an old tree because it's 70 years before it gives fruit. So it represents like the Zikna. And when that moved, and some say it moved 100 amos, and some say 400 amos, this was a endorsement that what Rabbi Lezer was saying was true in accordance to tradition. And the 100 amos or the 400 amos, this was showing how it could move down the generations. That was, he was saying, went way back to the previous generations, all the way to Moshe Rabbeinu, who was the Abba Mercedes, to Moshe Rabbeinu, who was the father of our tradition, because he received it right from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, who Masruli Yeshua and gave it to Yeshua and to Klal Yisrael. And that, the Chachomim answered him,
Ein mevin raya min achruv. Kruv, we cannot resolve questions of Torah with the cherub tree. Because, first of all, the cherub tree is something which is totally physical. So it cannot resolve laws of Torah, which is bilti gashmi, something which is beyond the physical. Secondly, a person can have a mistaken tradition. He could have heard something and he heard it wrong. Or the one who told him could have told him falsely. Therefore, ein mevin raya min akruv. So then he went and he brought a proof from Amasamayim, the canal of water. Amasamayim yechichu. And the water backed up. Instead of flowing forward, it stopped and it flowed backwards. He was going up a level. Water already is not something that's from the earth. And it's zoch, especially one running water. An amasamayim is a canal which runs because it was used to irrigate the fields. So running water is zoch, is pure and clear. So this was already representing a higher level in the world. It's beyond the earth, but was representing also a higher level in the understanding of Torah. And this is the das. A person has to have what is known as das, and that means a seichel zoch. He has to have a clear seichel, a clear intellect to understand Torah. Not only the information he has received from the previous generations from his Rebbe, but he himself has to have a seichel zoch, a clear understanding of what was said. Many times we hear something was said and the person makes a total confusion from it. So he said, not only did I hear this, but I also have a total understanding of it. And he says, let the running waters be my proof. And they stopped and they moved back to endorse what he was saying. And that the Chachomim said, Mal Lam Samayim, see, Eitzel Torah. What does that have to do with issues in Torah? Torah is something which is from a different world. You're bringing me proof from water on this world. So he went further. He said, let the walls of the Beis HaMedrash be my proof. What are the walls of the Beis HaMedrash? Firstly, they represent something now which is somewhat beyond the physical world. Because the walls of the Beis HaMedrash are made of physical stone and wood. But they're not stone and wood. They have kedusha. A Beis HaMedrash is like a Mikdash Mi'at, like a Beis HaMikdash. And it has sanctity. So this is something already which you cannot push away so easily. And you cannot say, what are you bringing something from this world for? Secondly, the walls of the Beis HaMedrash, what do they represent? They represent the Pilpul HaTalmidim, the Pilpul HaTorah. What takes place in the Beis HaMedrash? In the Beis HaMedrash takes place the heated Esek HaTorah, give and take of Torah. That's what people would come, the Talmidim would come. People would come. And there they would learn and discuss and argue and debate Torah. And this is known as the Pilpul HaTalmidim. This represents another Madrega in Torah, that of Bino. It's Chochmo, Das is Bino. Bino is, the Gemara says, that's the expounding. Maybe Dover, Mitech Dover. That's the expounding and the analysis of the Torah. It's not enough to receive information from your Rebbe, and it's not even enough to understand it with a clear seichel. But it has to be turned over. It has to be turned over and dissected and analyzed and tested and argued, and only through there comes the truth of Torah. And this is what is known as the Pilpul HaTorah. Like you see in the Gemara, you have the Mishnah, and that's what they received. That was the tradition. And then You have to understand it with a seichel zoch, but the Gemara goes through a whole pilpul, a whole discussion before, and tries to challenge it. So this is where he brought a raya from the Kosle Beis HaMedrash. And that, they said, Ein mevin raya mikosle Beis HaMedrash. Still the walls of the Beis HaMedrash cannot resolve Torah. Because Torah, when it comes to the halacha, to the final conclusion, and especially the halacha, the final conclusion in the great court, that was only for the Talmidei Chachomim Gedolim, from the greatest sages. And that was the highest level of Torah. And that's a level of Torah itself which is beyond the level of the Kosle Beis HaMedrash. The Kosle Beis HaMedrash are still physical. The walls are still physical. And therefore they rejected that. So then Avlevzer said, all right, you're saying that your Torah is higher than these levels. So you want something which is totally separated, totally divorced from this world. So he said, all right, like the Torah itself, Baskol Yechiyach, I'll bring a proof from heaven itself. And he called on a voice of heaven. And the Baskol came and said, Malacha, Malacha meets Reb Lezer. What are you starting up with Reb Lezer? Don't you know that Reb Lezer halacha k'meisi b'chol mokom? We should always pask in the halacha, render the judgment like Reb Lezer, he's so great. And that, Reb Yeshua got up and he said, Ein mevin raya mibaskol. You cannot bring a proof from the baskol. And they said, why? Because le bashomayim hi. Because the Baskol is in heaven. The Torah was already given Kvar Nitnu Torah leSinai. The Torah was already given to man on Sinai. And there in that Torah it states Acharei Rabim Lahatos, that you have to resolve the questions in accordance to the majority. What did he mean? He said, we have here an argument between the Baskol and the Torah itself. The Baskol will say the halacha is like a blazer, but the Torah itself is saying the halacha is not like a blazer, because the Torah itself said Achrei Rabim Lahatos, that you must resolve it in accordance to the majority. And what is higher, the Baskol or the Torah? The Baskol, the voice that comes from heaven, this is a decree that the Kodesh Baruch Hu sends down from the heavens. But the Torah is HaKadosh Baruch Hu himself. It says, Kutshi Brichu V'yaraisa Chadhu. The Torah is his Rotzein, is HaKadosh Baruch Hu's will himself. And therefore, Ein Mashgichin B'Basko. We don't listen to the Basko. Because Torah is higher. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu has already told us through his Torah how to resolve the Machlokes. Then it states, Ashkechei Reb Nosson LeElyohu. Reb Nosson met Eliyahu that day. He says, my Ovid Kutshi Brichu by Yushaita. What's HaKadosh Baruch Hu doing at this time? Omalei Kochayech V'Yomar. He says, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is very happy. And he's saying, Nitzchuni Bonai, Nitzchuni Bonai. My children, they are, as if to say, they are succeeding over me. They are victorious even over me. What did he mean? He says, because what I like about Klal Yisrael, they will not accept any decrees. They won't accept the decree, my Zera, that I made the Kruv, the cherub tree, the cherub tree move. They wouldn't accept my decree with the Amasamayim, with the canal of water. They wouldn't accept my decree with the walls of the Beis HaMedrash. And they won't even accept my decree when it comes to the voice of heaven. What do they want? He says, they won't accept, Yisrael will not accept anything less than me, myself, HaKadosh Baruch Hu said. They want the Madrega, they want the level of me, myself, the level of Torah. And they will not be satisfied with anything less. And therefore, all of the decrees in the world I can shoot down here into the earth. And they reject it. Because they said, you have already given us the Torah. And we accept nothing less. And we will listen to the Torah. We will listen to nothing else. And the Torah says, "Acharei Rabim Lahatris," that the halacha, the truth, has to be resolved by the majority of the Sanhedrin, and therefore we cannot listen to the Blazer. This brings great joy to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. When he says, "Nitzchuni Bonai," it says, "HaKadosh," the people, the Israel, this will in Israel stands up even against my decrees. This is what it states, Sadi Geza, Akkorish Bochum Makayim, that Umavatl Xeris, that Akkorish Bochum can make a decree, and Klal Yisrael can annul those decrees, because they come to the level of He Himself. They want only Torah. Now, Zolga Ein of the Mois, Blazer, when they went and they excommunicated him, so he endured great suffering. And it states that there was a great anger in the world then, and the whole world was smitten, a third in the olives produce, and a third in the wheat, and a third in the barley. Here the Gemara is bringing to show the other principle that kol ha'shorim ninolim, all the gates can be closed, chutz mishare eino, except when someone cries out to HaKadosh Baruch Hu from suffering of the heart, because this was the hand of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. See, evidently, like we mentioned, that the Sanhedrin didn't deal with this properly. In accordance to a person of the stature of the Blazer HaGadol. Incidentally, when Blazer HaGadol wrote a Sefer, the Sefer he wrote was known as Pirkei de Blazer. And these three products were smitten because the barley is the staples for the behemoths, for the animals. That is a staple animal feed. The chitin, the wheat, is the staple for men. And the zeisim, the olives, that's already a higher level, because the olives are known for their light. Shemen, the oil, brings light. And that's a higher level already. That's the level of the intellect of the world, of the Torah of the world, that comes from people. When an angel smites something, he can only smite something singular. But here we see that it affected the whole world. So this is a sign that it's coming from HaKadosh Baruch Hu himself. This is, this also the Gemara is bringing, where it says, "Shahakol bidei shliach chutz min eino," that when HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants to intervene when it comes to honor the suffering of the heart, so usually he uses a shliach, a malach, an emissary, an angel. When it comes to honor, he takes care of this himself. This is the story. This is what the Maral, how the Maral explains it. A few important principles that we can extract from here is, firstly, first thing we see very clearly is that even though the Blazer was such a great individual, and he was able to make all types of gzeres, all types of decrees come to the world, and wonders and miracles. And he was able even to, he did this through HaKadosh Baruch Hu. This was also Tzadik Geis of HaKadosh Baruch Hu Makai, that the righteous asked HaKadosh Baruch Hu for a decree and HaKadosh Baruch Hu listens to them. Nevertheless, this level was below the level of Torah. The level of Torah is greater. And this is a small level. And that's why the Chachomim and the Reb Shua answered to the Blazer, what are you bringing proofs from the Kerub tree for? We're talking here of Torah. What are you bringing proofs? What are you bringing proofs from the canal of water, from the walls of the base of Midrash, even from a voice of heaven? We're talking about Torah, and Torah is far higher. That's HaKadosh Baruch Hu himself. And what we are doing is we are listening to the laws of the Torah. This is contrary to popular opinion. Unfortunately, popular opinion is drawn after the opinions of the goyim, the nations of the world. Now, the nations of the world, and this is why they were not capable of accepting Torah, and this is why HaKadosh Baruch Hu was so happy with this. The nations of the world, they want signs, they want wonders. You show them that a tree can fall down. Avedas Zoras, world idolatries have been built up on things like that. You show them that a canal can stop. Once in a while you read in a magazine where the whole world is going to some city because there you have some guy who can make wonders. See? So the whole world is going to him. And entire historical religions and idolatries have been built on that. And there are millions and millions of dollars, billions of dollars. This has become a big industry today, a fraud. See? Where you have these gurus and these cults, and it's all built because this man can do wonders. And this is what the goyim are nimshach after. The goyim are drawn to this because they do not have the power of Torah, and this is why they couldn't accept Torah. It's beyond them. And Klal Yisrael came and said, Nasa v'nishma, we want Torah, give us this Torah and we will do it. Give us the 613 mitzvahs. If it's a mitzvah in the Torah, we'll do it. If it's a mitzvah, not. And this is simply what they told Abelezer, bring us all the wonders in the world. But you're telling us to disregard what is written in the Torah. Because the Torah said, Ein l'dayin ala masha ein abreis. A judge can only render a judgment in accordance to the way he sees it. And Hachrei Rabim Lahatois, the judgment is decided in accordance to the majority opinions. So what are you bringing all these proofs for? You're telling us to go away from Torah? No. Leba Shomayim Hikvar Nitnetar Har Sinai, Torah was already given to us, and we want nothing less. And that, HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, Nitzchuni Bonai, they want only me. They're not interested in all my decrees that I might bring to the world. See? They want only me, only my Torah. Fortunately, you find many times that people from Israel itself will be drawn after the goyim because they do not understand this. The fact is, the Maral brings that it states in Parshas Matos that Moshe told the people, Zeh Hadover. This is what Hashem has commanded. And he started to tell him the mitzvahs of the Torah. And the Chazal say, Kol ha-Nevim isnabnim b'kei omar Hashem. All the Nevim, all the prophets, they would say, Kol omar Hashem. Thus said Hashem. Moshe also said, Kol omar Hashem. B'chatzi ha-laylo, b'chatzi sa-laylo, he said, Thus said Hashem. At midnight, HaKadosh Baruch Hu will come through and smite Egypt with the firstborn. So is Moshe the same as the other prophets? That's why here it says, Zeh Hadover, this is what Hashem said, because Moshe is greater. And the Medrash explains why, because when you say Ko Amar Hashem, that's ambiguous, that's vague. Thus Hashem said. When you said Zeh Hadov, this, that's clear. Kol Anavim Leinisnamnu Elabas Baklaria Deleme Iro. All of the prophets, when they prophesied, it was as if looking through a glass that was hazy. Moshe Nisnamde Bas Baklaria Deleme Iro. When Moshe prophesied, it was looking through a crystal clear glass. So the Maral asked a very strong question. This we understand fine. But then why did Moshe say, when it came to the smiting of the firstborn, Ko Amar Hashem Bachatzei Salailo? Thus Hashem said that in the middle of the night he will come through and smite Egypt. He said, because when Moshe gave the prophecies that were crystal clear and bizarre, and this is what we're speaking by Kodesh Baruch Hu himself, that was the 613 mitzvahs of the Torah. Zeh HaDovar. When he gave the prophecy of what's happening in Egypt, that was a much lower level. That was just a mephis, that was a miracle, a wonder, which HaKadosh Baruch Hu was making just for that time. The mitzvahs of the Torah, which are permanent, are on a far, far higher level than the temporary miracles that HaKadosh Baruch Hu has to execute from time to time. Therefore, when it comes to teaching the mitzvahs of the Torah, there it states, there was Moshe's level of Zeh HaDovar. Only he was on that level. To teach mitzvahs, bring mitzvahs to the world that were permanent forever and ever. But prophets that could bring to the world or prophesize to the world temporary changes in the nature, that many could do. That was a level of Ko Amar Hashem. Thus said Hashem. So just contrary, see, that the mitzvahs that we have are far greater than any wonder or miracle that might take place from time to time. And this is what the Chachomim were saying to the Blazer. A second principle we see from here, that when it comes to the judgment, to the Shefet, we see how careful he has to be to render the judgment in accordance to his greatest ability of the understanding of the Torah. And under no circumstances must he render a judgment not in accordance to that. Here there were overshadowed by the Blazer. And many times you have where someone wants to give a halacha, he's afraid to. What would the people say? See, what you take when it comes lahavdil elef havdolos, today when it comes to the leaders of the world, the leaders of the nations, before they say something, they send out their pollsters to find out what do the people want. And then we will dance to the tune that they will play. See? And the courts have to be very careful. We cannot give a judgment that's too unpopular. Here, you can imagine the enormous pressure. Blazer was the very, very greatest of the Sanhedrin. There were young people in the Sanhedrin, also young judges. And Blazer was not only bringing his greatest rationale, but he's bringing wonders from heaven. How could they not be intimidated? How could they not be swayed? Yet they held to the guns. Leisagurim ibneish. HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, Amishpat lelekim, when it comes to the judgment that has to be totally pure, totally true. And you must paskin, you must render in accordance to what you see, if you are a shefet, if you're a judge. If you're qualified and you belong under Sanhedrin, then we want your opinion, and it cannot be influenced by any external influences, any external pressures, even a baskol mishamayim, a voice from heaven. This is the second great principle we see from here. Tzedek, tzedek tirvatev, that the judgment must be perfect. Another principle that we see from here is that of the Godel Eino. With all of this, though, we see there was still great anger. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, for one aspect, was full of simcha. Klal Yisrael wants me, they want nothing less. But at the other aspect, a great anger came to the world. Because when you're dealing with Talmidei Chachamim, and you're dealing with someone as great as Reb Lezer, evidently they were a little too harsh. And this brought the Einoz Dvorim, this brought the suffering, the Tzar Halev, the suffering of the heart, that brought the consequences of HaKadosh Baruch Hu's anger to the world. These are a number of important principles that we see that have to do with the safety m'sheitrin, titin l'cho b'chol shorecho, the system of the mishpatei HaTorah.
The Yeshiva Gedola hopes that you have learned much from the presentation. For further information, or to order additional shiurim, please contact the Yeshiva Gedola of Johannesburg. Visit us on the web at www.ygj.co.za or contact us via email at audio@ygj.co.za, via phone at 011-648-7906, via fax at 011-648-0085, and via post at PO Box 66226, Broadway 2020, Johannesburg, South Africa.